Amen. Thank you. Gracias. So, good to see everyone. Good morning again. Buenos días. Un placer mirarlos aquí en esta mañana. So, we started Galatians last week, chapter 1. We went through that chapter. And default, we're going to go into chapter 2. Empezamos la semana pasada en Gálatas capítulo 2, y como un proceso natural, pues vamos a seguir en el capítulo 2. But there's something that I saw when I was studying chapter 2 that's down in verse number 9 that I thought was completely appropriate for our service today. Cuando estuve estudiando, pude observar algo en el versículo 9 que creo que está completamente apropiado para nuestra actividad de hoy. Entonces voy a predicar sobre este versículo y un concepto muy importante que encontré. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach out of verse 9, chapter 2. So we are in chapter 2 of Galatians. I'm going to save the first 8 verses for next week and then some. But I do want to point out a little bit of the background before we get to this particular verse. Entonces, si vamos a estar en Gálatas, voy a cubrir los primeros 8 versículos y más la semana que viene. Pero hay aquí en el versículo 9 ciertos conceptos que creo muy importante por lo que estamos haciendo hoy. Y yo creo que será una gran bendición para nosotros. I think it's going to be a great blessing for us. If we can understand this, we as a church will be strong and a blessing not only to each other, but to the community around us. Si podemos entender los principios que vamos a ver aquí en el versículo 9, seremos no solamente una bendición los unos con los otros aquí en la iglesia, pero aún y tal vez igual de importante para nuestra comunidad. Amén. Paul was an apostle that was chosen out of season. He was born out of season, he says in one of his epistles. He came to the gospel when he was on the road to Damascus with arrest warrants in his hand. He was persecuting the church. He had a zeal for God, but no knowledge. And he says that himself in his writings. Pablo, encontramos que nació fuera de tiempo como apóstol. Él no era parte del grupo original. Y cuando lo encontramos en Hechos 9, tiene en su mano documentos para arrestar a cristianos en Damasco. Él tenía celos por Dios, pero no tenía conocimiento. Entonces, ahí es donde el Señor lo encontró, si se recuerdan. That's where the Lord found him, on the road to Damascus. And so he is not part of the gang. He's not part of the original 12. When they find that he, or discover that he's saved, they're a little bit intimidated. Wouldn't you be? So they didn't meet him until 14 years later, the church in Jerusalem, which was the primary church after the day of Pentecost. Entonces, él era alguien que los otros discípulos no conocían. Y sentían amenaza cuando escucharon que había sido salvo, pero nunca los conoció hasta 14 años después. Y es lo que está sucediendo aquí. So finally, he meets the other apostles. This is the conclusion of that meeting, this verse. En Finalmente, últimamente, llega a reunirse con los apóstoles en Jerusalén. Y esto representa, este versículo representa la conclusión. So I think it's important for us to see this. It says, and why don't we stand? Vamos a ponernos de pie mientras que leemos la lectura de hoy. We're going to stand so we can show honor to God's word today. Amen. And when James and Cephas, Cephas is Peter, and John, we recognize those names, don't we? These are all have writings in the New Testament. It says that when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, they were the leaders, but he didn't want to give them too much credit because the leader of the church really is Christ and the Holy Spirit. Not we're privileged to serve him. We should always be humble about that opportunity. They perceived, that is James, Peter, and John, the grace that was given to me. They gave the right hand of fellowship. Let me repeat that again. They gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised, which the circumcised are the Jews. En español, dice, de hecho, Santiago, Pedro y Juan, y todos reconocemos quiénes son, ¿verdad? Son apóstoles que han escrito aún epístolas en el Nuevo Testamento, quienes eran considerados pilares de la iglesia. Y la manera que dice Pablo esto es que reconoció que eran líderes, pero también acepta que el verdadero líder, pastor de la iglesia es Jesús. Amén. Nosotros tenemos el privilegio de servirlo, si es que nos ha puesto como líderes, como ancianos, maestros, pastores. Y dice, bueno, eran considerados pilares de la iglesia, ellos reconocieron el don o, depende de la traducción que tienes, la gracia que Dios me había dado y nos aceptaron a Bernabé y a mí como sus colegas. ¿Ok? Nos animaron a seguir predicando a los gentiles mientras ellos continuaban su tarea con los judíos. So that's the text that we're going to look at today and a couple others. Eso es lo que vamos a mirar hoy, la lectura. ¿Por qué no oramos antes de predicar? Let's pray before we preach the sermon. Father, thank you again for your word. And thank you again for what we're going to learn today. I think it's so important as a church that we understand these things so that we can grow and we can mature in our faith and in our service to you. Gracias, Señor, por esta lectura, por tu palabra, que nos ayudará cuando aprendemos los conceptos que están aquí a crecer y madurar como iglesia y aún, Señor, y más importante, cómo te servimos. Te lo pedimos todo en nombre de Cristo Jesús. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Por favor, siéntense. So, let's go back to verse 9. We're going to hover over this for a minute. Notice it says, and when James, and if you have a Bible or a phone, get it ready because I'm going to go to other verses that are not going to be up here in other places. So we can look at references. The Bible cannot be interpreted without using the Bible itself to interpret. James and Cephas and John, these are the original apostles. They were leaders in the church, as we said. They were appeared to be pillars. They recognized or they perceived the grace that was given to Paul. This is really important. Any preacher, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, anyone who has been given one of the fivefold ministries, if you don't perceive the grace of God in that person, run the opposite direction as fast as you can. get away from them. If the gift is not perceived in the men that God and women that God has chosen, there's a problem. Now, in this epistle, there were those who came in that were false teachers, so that's a little bit of the background to understand why this is important. They were teaching legalism. They were still teaching Judaism. They couldn't get out of it. They were so deeply into it that they were not able to break free from it. So Paul comes along as God's chosen instrument to break the yoke, if you would, that was burdening the church at that time, where they were steeped into religiosity and rituals and ceremonialism. They were trying to argue even the point of circumcision. That's something we'll see next week. Lo que vemos aquí entonces, hermanos, es que los apóstoles originales, Juan, Pedro y Santiago, we need to get to verse number 9 in Spanish there, guys, back there. Como ya vimos que se consideraban líderes, ellos reconocieron el don o la gracia que Dios le había dado a Pablo, ¿verdad? Es lo que quiero que reconozcan. Y fueron aceptados. Y acabo de mencionar que es sumamente importante, hermanos, como iglesia, que en los líderes, en los ancianos, pastores, maestros, evangelistas, que reconocemos la gracia de Dios en su ministerio. Y esto viene y se dice con la idea de que habían llegado falsos maestros que estaban enseñando legalismo, ritos, ceremonias. Y aún el argumento que no vimos hoy, pero lo vamos a ver en la semana que viene, estaban insistiendo que tenían que ser circuncidados para ser salvos. Y no es cierto, porque eso es la ley antigua, no el nuevo pacto que tenemos en Cristo. Pero ellos llegaron a aceptar a Pablo. ¿Por qué? Porque vieron, reconocieron la gracia o el don de Dios. Y si uno no ve esa gracia, ese don en sus líderes, debe dar la vuelta y echarte de correr de aquí lo más rápido que puedes. So, it's so important to see the grace of God in the leadership and the message of grace being preached. So that's the first point that I want to bring out this morning. Es sumamente importante mirar que la gracia de Dios está presente en la vida de los que son nuestros líderes. Porque solamente por la gracia es como crecemos. Porque no vamos a crecer por poder decir que desarrollamos perfección, porque no existe. Es por la gracia, porque vamos a hacer errores, vamos a fracasar, vamos a fallar. So grace is important in the leadership, not only that you see the gift of grace upon the leadership, but that they are also preaching grace. Because we're not making one step forward without God's grace. No one's going to go anywhere if you're looking at perfection or somehow, some way, believing in your mind that you're fulfilling the law. You're not. The law was given to prove to you you can't, that you need a Savior. You can't. Now, is that a standard that we should strive for? Of course. But it can't be accomplished without grace. Bottom line, it cannot be done without God's grace. So, they recognized that. And by recognizing that, they accepted Paul. Okay? Go back to verse 9 in English. You're going to have to flip it back. When I speak English, you put English. When I speak Spanish, you put Spanish. Okay? Perceive the grace that was given to me. Perceive the grace that was given to me. The grace. Grace. You're going to notice in this book, grace is the center of everything. And in the rest of this, if you go to the next part, and they, what did they do? They gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me. In the Spanish version, I'm going to share another word with you in English. They accepted them. That's what it means to give the right hand of fellowship. Let me talk about fellowship for a minute. The Greek word for fellowship that's translated is koinonia. You probably have heard it because there are some churches that actually are called koinonia. It's from the Greek, and it simply means fellowship. Fellowship. Right? En español, donde dice que lo aceptaron, es importante reconocer que esta palabra traducida es la palabra griega koinonia. Y se traduce o significa compañerismo. Compañerismo. Recuerda eso. Don't forget the word fellowship from koinonia. In the Near East, when you lived in that part of the world, the Mediterranean world, when you gave, go back to English, when you gave the right hand of fellowship, I want you to see it. If you would come up here, Leo, I want to use you for a demonstration, if you would. I'm an interactive teacher. I'm a teacher by profession, and they say, oh, don't do that when you're preaching. I will. Come here, brother. When you give me the right hand of fellowship, that's the greatest act in the church that you could ever perform. When you shake the hand of your leaders and each other. Because you're accepting them. But Christ accepted us like this too. Quédate ahí porque lo vamos a hacer en español. Quédate aquí, hermano. En español, cuando dice que lo aceptaron, la Reina Valera dice que nos dieron a mí y a Bernabé la diestra en señal de compañerismo. La diestra, la mano derecha. Y este señal aquí en el mundo mediterráneo significa amistad. Significa compañerismo. Significa participación. In English, the word koinonia is actually translated not just fellowship, but partnership. And at its root, joint participation. Two people joining together in agreement to what? God's grace. Thank you, brother. Lo que nos dice esta palabra es no solamente compañerismo. Nos está hablando de participación conjunto. ¿Y qué es lo que nos junta? La gracia de Dios. Entonces, ¿le dieron qué? A Bernabé, la mano o la diestra en señal de compañerismo. They gave him the right hand of fellowship. That is huge. We cannot accomplish the Great Commission without fellowship, without joint participation with each other. Amen? Does that sink in? So this act was a vow. This hand shaking that you saw demonstrated up here with Brother Leo. It is a solemn vow of friendship, a mark of partnership, and it signified that the apostles' recognition of Paul as a teacher and a preacher of the gospel, and therefore partners in ministry. Amen. Lo que significa esto, hermanos, es que fueron aceptaron a Pablo como su colega y le dieron la mano. Aquí dice en la Reina Valera, 60, me dieron a mí, a Bernabé, la diestra en señal de compañerismo. En el Medio Oriente, esto representó un voto de amistad, una marca de colaboración, de participación. Estaban reconociendo los apóstoles originales en Jerusalén que Pablo era maestro del verdadero y predicador del verdadero evangelio. Y los aceptaron así. Okay. It's not going to be up here on the board, but I'm going to share another verse with you that goes along with this. It's in Philippians chapter 1, if you want to see it. Si quieren mirar la siguiente cita que les voy a presentar con este concepto de compañerismo, pasen a Filipenses 1 en sus Biblias o si tienen su teléfono o como lo pueden ver porque no va a estar acá arriba. Paul, when he greeted the Philippians, he says this, I thank God, my God, in all my remembrance of you. So he's always thinking about the brothers and the churches. Always, notice he says, in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. So when he thought of his brothers, he thought of them and it filled his heart with joy. Because, why did he remember them? Why was he joyful when he prayed for them? Because of their partnership. Same word, koinonia. What? Partnership. Hey folks, we're partners for the sake of the gospel. We come from every background. We come from different economic levels, educational levels. Maybe even we come from different ethnic groups and languages, as you can see today. But what brings us together and makes us partners is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All those things are secondary. They're not as important as the gospel message and the transformation in our hearts because of the Word of God being preached to us. Entonces, hermanos, en Filipenses 1, Pablo le dice esto de esa iglesia, cada vez que pienso en ustedes, le doy gracias a Dios. Entonces, él tiene en sus recuerdos y está agradecido a Dios por esa iglesia, por esos hermanos. Siempre que oro, pido por ustedes con alegría, cuando piensan en ellos y cuando ora por ellos. Y dice, porque han, ¿qué? Colaborado conmigo en dar a conocer la buena noticia acerca de Cristo desde el momento en que la escucharon por primera vez hasta ahora. En la Reina Valera dice, le daba gracias a Dios por su comunión. Entonces es la misma palabra, koinonia, comunión. In English, you guys, it says partnership. In Spanish, it says communion. I thank God for your communion, for community. We are a community. Our goal and our objective is the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us, together. Amen? So, let me just say this, and I want to... I learned this word, koinonia, 40 years ago from my pastor. It literally, at its root, means joint participation, and I meant it. The believers eagerly assisted Paul, eagerly joined him in a partnership to do what? From the very beginning, to share the gospel. Entonces, hermanos, esto lo aprendí de mi pastor cuando yo era jovencito. Aprendí que koinonia significa no solamente comunión, no solamente colaboración, no solamente compañerismo, significa que estamos participando en una manera conjunta para llevar, para compartir el Evangelio del Señor Jesucristo. Y se supone que ese Evangelio nos ha transformado. Entonces, todos podemos venir de otros orígenes, todos podemos venir de otro lugar, de otros países, tener diferentes niveles económicos o de educación o socialmente. Todo eso es secundario. Lo que tenemos en común es Cristo y la gracia. Amén. Entonces, esto me va a ayudar a mí explicar qué tan agradecido estoy por mis hermanos Steve y Debbie y los demás que están compartiendo conmigo el labor de llevar adelante el Evangelio. So these two verses are going to help me, I hope, to share with you why it's so important for us to recognize and celebrate our brother Steve and our sister Debbie because of the fact that they have been joint participants with me in sharing the gospel. Man, I'm going to miss them. Los voy a extrañar. A lot of times the sheep give the pastor trouble. I don't think I miss them too much. I respect them, that God, they belong to the Lord, and I leave them there. Muchas veces hay ovejas que más bien te molestan más que te ayuden, pero que estén con, en las manos de Dios. Esos hermanos han colaborado y participado en maneras que jamás vamos a saber. These guys back there, this cute little couple, they have done more than we'll ever know. But God does. Yeah. Fellowship is huge in the kingdom. El compañerismo es grande en el reino de Dios. Es grande. Amistad. Friendship. That's what Christ does. He makes us friends. Friends of the gospel. Amigos del evangelio. So, let me say this. The church is like an orchestra or a symphony. I've always been, you know, we could talk about a band too, whatever, you know, the Eagles or Kansas, and I come back from good old classic rock and roll. I go back a few years. They don't make music like they used to. But what am I trying to say? I admire when I can see either a band or an orchestra or even a symphony. If you see all the different members of that is composed of, the whole group who perform different musical instruments, and how they can be in harmony, how they can be in tempo, at the conductor's direction. That's what I compare the church to. And I admire when I see a good musical performance. And I say to myself, how is it that the world, and in the world, we can see a group of people come together with varied gifts and abilities, and they could produce something so beautiful? How is it then that we, the church, cannot come together from our diversity and all the different gifts that we have, and we should, by God's grace and help, produce something beautiful also? If you're not cooperating with the church, knock it off right now. You're out of line. Now, that's no one here. I'm just saying a little extra for future temptations. Hermanos, la iglesia lo miro yo como una orquesta compuesta por un grupo de músicos que interpretan la música con cada instrumento distinto. Y ellos pueden utilizar esos instrumentos en armonía y a tiempo a la dirección del conductor. Nosotros tenemos conductor, es el Espíritu Santo. Yo admiro, sea un grupo, no importa, o sea una orquesta, una sinfonía, admiro cómo pueden traer cada uno su instrumento, que puede ser diferente, sea trompeta con la batería, con la guitarra, todos a tiempo, en armonía, y producen algo bonito. ¿Y qué no debe la iglesia y cada uno de nosotros, distintos y con diferentes dones y capacidades, también debemos producir algo bonito para el Señor? Amén. I think it's important for us to see that. It just fascinates me. I don't play an instrument. I can barely whistle. In the shower, I'll do a little tune and I'm off key. But, you know, that's just me and I suffer it. Isn't it amazing that what people can do? And if much more for Christ, how we should all join together. And by the way, koinonia, joint participation, is like if you were to put your hands up like this, spread your fingers, and I'm going to give you a tactile interpretation of the word from the koinonia, is this. What do you see? They're one. They're one. What do you see when you see the handshake of fellowship? The two become one. Together. In harmony. Unified. Right? Entonces, hermanos, usando el ejemplo de una orquesta, cada persona con su instrumento, cada persona con su don, con su capacidad, viene como si fuera, pudiéramos interpretar el significado de la palabra koinonía del griego. Pon tus manos así y pon los dedos todos juntos y ¿qué ves? Todos unidos. Son uno. Amén. Entonces, then, Romans 12, 4 and 5, you can write down for notes and look it up later. Says, for as in one body we have many members. Paul's talking to the church at Rome. And the members do not all have the same functions. We all do something different, but we're many people here. We all do something distinct and different. We all have different functions. So we, though many, and it's amazing what God could put together, if He's putting together an orchestra, it's got to be an amazing thing because He created you. He knows exactly what you're able to do or not do. And He brings us together, not by accident, but on purpose. And it says, we're one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. Nos dice, Romanos 12, bueno, está hablando Pablo del cuerpo, que es la iglesia, que así como nuestro cuerpo tiene muchas partes y cada parte tiene una función específica, y es exactamente lo que sucede en el concepto de la iglesia, tenemos diferentes funciones específicas, pero somos muchas partes, ¿no? El cuerpo de Cristo también así funciona, como el cuerpo humano. Nosotros somos las diversas partes de un solo cuerpo y nos pertenecemos unos a otros. Es decir, que no lo podemos hacer solo. So, I like the ending of what Paul says. So, we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. We belong to one another. And guess what? I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without me. We need each other. That's what the scriptures are teaching us. So let me get a little lightheartedness thing here. Voy a tratar de dar un ejemplo, lo más ligero para entender, ¿no? To understand, the church is like a toolbox. Toolbox. Excuse me. With many tools that are used to perform many different tasks, correct? Anyone here like to use tools? So here we go, guys. Now, this I got from John Corson. He's a pastor at a church up in Oregon. He was one of Chuck Smith's disciples in the Jesus movement in the early 70s. I was there, by the way. I was real young, but I remember these days. So he wrote this, and I can't help but just read it to you, and I hope it helps us to understand what fellowship means. Brother Hammer was appointed to preside over the Master Tool Convention. Brother Screwdriver objected, saying, "Brother Hammer, you're too noisy to preside over this meeting. You're always driving home your point, always nailing people. I call for your resignation immediately." Brother Hammer responded, "Well, what about you, Brother Screwdriver? All you ever do is spin around in circles." "Well, that may be true," said Brother Screwdriver, "but at least I'm not like Brother Ruler over there. He thinks he's always right, measuring everybody by his own standard." "Well, if you're going to come down on me," argued Brother Ruler, "what about Brother Pliers? He needs to get a grip. All he ever does is rub people the wrong way," said Brother Pliers, staring at Brother Sandpaper. And then the master craftsman enters in. And as he used each tool at the perfect time and in the perfect way, He created an object of great beauty. Who's the master carpenter? Jesus. What are you? A tool in His hands. At times, we look at the gifts and abilities of other people in ways that God made them, and we think, oh, she's shallow, and or he rubs me the wrong way, or they're too noisy, until we finally come to the point where we understand that there are many members in one body, each one with a part to play and a function to fulfill. Amen? Hermanos, en Romanos, cuando Cristo nos dice que todos nosotros somos las diversas partes de un solo cuerpo y nos pertenecemos unos a otros, nos da a entender que somos, es decir, la iglesia es como una caja de herramientas, ¿no? Con muchas herramientas que se utilizan para realizar muchas tareas diferentes. Amén. ¿Alguien aquí le gusta obrar y trabajar con herramientas? Entonces, déjame por un segundo explicarles algo según el concepto de una caja de herramientas. El hermano Martillo fue designado para presidir la convención de herramientas maestras. El hermano destornillador se opuso y dijo, hermano Martillo, es demasiado ruidoso para presidir esta reunión. Siempre estás insistiendo en tu punto, siempre clavando a la gente. Yo solicito su despedida de inmediato. El hermano Martillo respondió, bueno, ¿qué hay de usted, hermano destornillador? Todo lo que haces es girar en círculos. Eso puede ser cierto, dijo hermano destornillador, pero al menos yo no soy como un hermano regla. Él cree que siempre tiene la razón, midiendo a todos los demás según su medida. Bueno, si vas a atacarme, argumentó el hermano regla, ¿qué pasa con el hermano pinzas? Necesita agarrar todo. Siempre causa mucha fricción a la gente de una manera incorrecta, dijo el hermano pinzas. Mirando al hermano papel de lija, en ese momento entró el maestro artesano y al usar cada herramienta en el momento perfecto, creó un objeto de gran belleza. ¿Sabes quién es el carpintero maestro, hermanos? Es Cristo. ¿Sabes quiénes son ustedes? Instrumentos, herramientas en sus manos. Quiere construir algo de belleza y ¿sabes lo que es? La iglesia, la novia de Cristo. Entonces, muchas veces miramos los dones, las imperfecciones de otras personas y la forma en que Dios los hizo y pensamos, ella es superficial o él es gordo o somos demasiado ruidosos o hasta que finalmente llegamos al punto en que entendemos que hay muchos miembros en el cuerpo, cada uno con un papel que tiene que desempeñar una función en la cual debe cumplir. Amén. So, I'm going to leave for homework and I'm going to talk more about this on Wednesday at the Bible study online or here if you come in person over 1 Corinthians 12 where it talks about our gifts. And I want to finish this morning by having Debbie and Steve come up here. Vamos a terminar y voy a usar 1 de Corintios 12 el miércoles para desarrollar este concepto un poco más, pero quiero que acerquen aquí Debbie y Steve. ¿Es Debbie y Steve Vector? We need to get Steve and Debbie And I would like to pray with them before they make their next step toward whatever God has for them in their new town that they're going to be living in soon. Quiero orar con ellos, hermanos, que todos oremos con ellos antes de que se nos van al nuevo lugar que el Señor los ha, donde el Señor los va a llevar. Amen. So, while they're doing that, I want to just say this. Paul spoke to us in 1 Corinthians 12. It started at verse 4. He says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Nos dice en 1 Corintios 4, esto mientras que esperemos a Steve y Debbie, que existe en la iglesia de diversidad de dones, pero el Espíritu es el mismo. Hay diversidad de ministerios, pero el Señor es el mismo. Hay diversidad de actividades, pero Dios que hace todo en todos es el mismo. Pero la manifestación del Espíritu le es dada a cada uno para provecho. A uno el espíritu de la palabra de sabiduría, a otro el mismo espíritu le da palabra de ciencia, a otro el mismo espíritu le da fe, y a otro dones de sanidades, a otros más el don de hacer milagros, a otro el don de profecía, a otro el don de discernir los espíritus, a otro el don de diversos géneros de lenguas, y a otro el don de interpretar lenguas. Pero todo esto lo hace uno y el mismo Espíritu que reparte a cada uno en particular según su voluntad. Amén. Entonces, hermanos, vamos a reconocer y darle gracias a Dios por esta linda pareja que nos dio en Steve y Debbie. We're going to recognize and give thanks to God and pray for them to Steve and Debbie. They come over here, come forward over here. I'd like to pray with you, Steve and Debbie. Amen. Come on up, guys. Amen. Let's give them. This is for the Lord, for what He's done. Come on up here. We want to pray with you. Debbie on my right, Steve on my left. Give me a hug. This is how you say goodbye in the Christian faith. Esa es la manera que se dice adiós en la fe cristiana, con amor, with love. I love these guys. They have been my right and left hand in many things at this church. Thank you. I thank God for you. I do. I thank the Lord for you. And I praise Him because He knew what He was doing. He knew what He was doing. Le doy gracias a Dios porque supo lo que estaba haciendo. So can I pray with you guys for whatever God has for you? Amen. Let's pray for them. If you guys don't mind, we're going to pray for Steve and Debbie. Vamos a orar por esta pareja, Steve y Debbie. Father, thank you again for this wonderful understanding of partnership. And wow, it has been an amazing partnership with these two that you brought into our lives and into my life here at Crosspoint Community Church. And there are so many things that we could talk about that transpired over these many years, and things that we'll never know about, but you do. And we see the result, and we see, Lord, how everything they did it for you and for your honor and glory, and I thank you for that. Padre, le quiero dar gracias, Señor, por Steve y Debbie, por esta pareja, Señor, y por su fidelidad, por todo lo que hicieron, que pudimos ver, y todo que nunca vamos a saber, pero tú sí sabes. Gracias, Señor, porque siempre apoyaron. Gracias, Señor, porque siempre estaban presentes. Los vamos a extrañar, pero los entregamos a tus manos. y que los lleves con bien y que bendigas donde sea que vayan y donde sea que participen en el Evangelio. We thank you, Father, for them. We ask you to take them to their new place in Michigan, Missouri. I don't want to send them too much further. Thank you, Father, because we will never know all that they have done and all the things, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to your name. But you know it, and we thank you for them. We ask you to go with them and bless them in their new home. And in whatever ministry they're going to support, Lord, there be a blessing there as they were here. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Te damos las gracias y te damos toda la gloria en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amen. Thank you. All right, I'm going to let you go because I want to start crying. Bless you. Hermanos, hemos terminado. Vamos a... You have some more music for us, I think? Okay, there's going to be a couple more songs. So we're going to praise the Lord. And, you know, everything we're saying and doing here is thanking God first. But we can recognize, because Paul was recognized, right? I mean, recognition for faithfulness is to be honored. The world honors and recognizes garbage and not the church. We recognize what's eternal. And you know what's eternal? Serving the Lord. We're not just serving Him here. We're going to serve Him forever. So it's a good start here, right? Estamos reconociendo a Dios por lo que hizo a través de esta pareja. Por su fidelidad, por el servicio que mostraron todos estos años. Y le damos gracias a Dios porque nosotros estamos preparando por lo que vamos a hacer allá y en la eternidad, y es servir al Señor en cualquier capacidad que Él decida. Amén. Entonces, vamos a seguir con unos cantos más. Amén. We're going to proceed with a few more songs, worship songs. God bless you.